The headlines this hour: Ayatollah Khamenei approves amnesty and the commutation of sentences for a large number of people detained during the recent riots in Iran. China says it reserves the right to respond to the U.S. shooting down its civilian unmanned airship off the coast of South Carolina. And former Pakistani military ruler General Pervez Musharraf, who came to power following a coup in 1999, dies at the age of 79. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has pardoned and commuted the sentences of a large number of people arrested during the recent riots in the country. Ayatollah Khamenei issued the decree in response to a request by the Iranian judiciary on the occasion of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. In his request, Ghulam Hossein Mohseni Ejei said many of those who committed crimes during the foreign-backed riots are now repentant and are asking for forgiveness. Cases against those charged with crimes or convicted of them will now be dropped. The judiciary chief, however, said the clemency will not apply to those who committed espionage, murder, bodily harm, and vandalism. Those facing lawsuits by private litigations are not eligible for the amnesty either. Ayatollah Khamenei has also granted amnesty to a number of people convicted of other crimes. Iran's foreign minister says that U.S. bullying and sanctions policy are doomed to failure. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the remark in a meeting with his Cuban counterpart in Havana. The top Iranian diplomat reaffirmed Tehran's condemnation of foreign meddling in Cuba's affairs and the U.S. role in the 2021 riots in the Caribbean country. Also referring to the recent unrest in Iran, Amir Abdollahian said that the U.S. and some other Western states target sovereign countries by simultaneously imposing sanctions on them and provoking riots there. The Cuban foreign minister, for his part, also denounced unilateral sanctions and foreign interference. Bruno Rodriguez said that enhancing ties with Iran is a priority for his country. Amir Abdollahian also earlier met with the Cuban president. He is on a foreign tour, which has already taken him to Mauritania, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Iran's deputy foreign minister says the country is playing an increasingly important role in the international arena, as evidenced by its accession to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
Iran joined Shanghai, which was Iran's demand. It was Iran's demand for many years. But the important point is, why was it admitted at this time? Our entry at this point showed the need for multilateralism, and this shows the position, role, and importance of Iran in global relations and also in the New World Order. The same is true about BRICS Plus. It is interesting to note that when the Islamic Republic of Iran proposed to join the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, it took more than 15 years for the Islamic Republic of Iran to join the organization until it was approved. But when the Islamic Republic of Iran proposed to enter the BRICS Plus process until Mr. Raisi, the Honorable President of the Islamic Republic of Iran, at the BRICS Plus meeting held in China, gave a speech as a country that wants to enter this group, it didn't take more than 4 or 5 months.
In an interview with Press TV's Insight program, Baghdadi Kani also said the world is witnessing the gradual rise of a new world order and that Iran can play an effective role in shaping it. The Iranian diplomat said the decline of Western powers is quite tangible now, and it will become more and more evident as time goes by. Baghdadi Kani said the world's emerging powers are setting up their own multilateral mechanisms, notably the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and BRICS. Israel has arrested many Palestinians in raids across the occupied West Bank. One of the detainees is senior Islamic Jihad leader Sheikh Khizr Adnan. He was arrested during an incursion into a village south of Jenin. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier with more details.
Khizr Adnan had been arrested by the Israeli forces several times in the past, and he's known to be the leader of the Battle of the Empty Stomachs. We have to mention that his wife revealed that immediately after the ugly way of detaining Sheikh Khadr Adnan, he declared that he would start an open-ended hunger strike because he considers his detention is illegal as usual in the past. We are speaking about 10 other Palestinians have been detained by the Israeli forces. In Jenin, 4 Palestinians were detained. Clashes erupted between the Palestinians and the Israeli soldiers. In Ariha, 1 Palestinian was arrested. In Ramallah, 2 Palestinians were detained by the Israeli forces. In Beit Fajar, in Beit Lahem, 1 Palestinian was detained. And also in towns around Al-Quds, 3 other Palestinians were detained by the Israeli soldiers.
Tens of thousands of demonstrators have once again hit the streets in Tel Aviv to protest against the policies of the right-wing cabinet led by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The protesters chanted slogans against Netanyahu and carried banners and signs that read, "A Cabinet of Shame" and "Bring Down the Dictator." Israelis have been protesting against the Netanyahu regime for the 5th straight week. Protesters are expressing their disapproval of what they call a fascist cabinet and its proposed reforms meant to increase political power. Netanyahu returned to power at the head of a coalition with extreme right and ultra-Orthodox parties. The cabinet is planning to hand over more powers to lawmakers in appointing judges and overriding the rulings of the regime's apex court. The coalition also intends to intensify the expansionist policy with more settlement units in the occupied West Bank. Tim Anderson is the director of the Sydney-based Center for Counter-Hegemonic Studies. He tells us how politics are shaping the protests against Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet in Israel.
Look, I think it's important to recognize that the protests represent a very deep faction, a deep division that's occurring between the Zionist factions. This sometimes isn't recognized so much on the resistance side of things, but what they are calling an openly fascist faction led by Netanyahu has been in power in the colony for around 15 years now. And yet the liberal faction, which is more concerned about the image of Zionists and of the colony, dominate in the US, for example. And so there have been very important attacks on the Netanyahu regime and criticisms of Israel, which haven't been seen before from a lot of North American Jews. So this conflict between the liberal Zionist faction, let's say, and the openly fascist faction, I think is quite important because it foreshadows a destabilization of the regime itself. The liberals would like to change the system. They're very upset at the apartheid brand, for example. That's why they talk about shame. They really have this dreamlike ideal of two states and being kind to the Arab population and so on. And of course, the openly fascist faction has completely destroyed that in the eyes of the world.
The United States says it has shot down what it calls a Chinese spy balloon that had been flying across America in the past week. The U.S. military said its fighter jets downed the balloon with a missile when it floated off the southeastern coast. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the balloon was being used by China to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States. Chinese Foreign Ministry expressed strong dissatisfaction, saying that it was opposed to use of force to attack its airship. Beijing had previously said that the balloon was for civilian meteorological purposes, and that it had strayed into U.S. airspace. The incident brought a new low to already tense relations between the two sides. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, postponed his visit to China over the incident.
The balloon's journey across the ocean has gripped the world's attention. On Friday, the U.S. military said it mobilized fighter jets, but advised President Joe Biden against shooting the balloon out of the sky for fear debris could pose a safety threat. U.S. authorities said the military took custody of the balloon when it entered America's airspace. On Saturday, however, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the balloon, which was being used by China in an attempt to surveil strategic sites in the continental United States, was brought down above U.S. territorial waters. Pentagon also snapped what it called China's unacceptable violation. China has expressed regret, blaming winds for pushing what it calls civilian airship into U.S. airspace. Beijing said the balloon was used for meteorological purposes and had unintentionally escaped into U.S. airspace. The incident prompted U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to issue a personal note to his Chinese counterpart condemning Beijing's move.
China's decision to fly a surveillance balloon over the continental United States is both unacceptable and irresponsible. That's what this is about. It's a violation of our sovereignty. It's a violation of international law.
Blinken further added that the U.S. remains committed to diplomatic engagement with China and that he would make a trip to Beijing once conditions are favorable. Some White House allies say postponing Blinken's trip was an overreaction to the incident, particularly because U.S. officials have said that they do not think the balloon was able to gather information that cannot be acquired in other ways, such as spy satellites. In a phone call with his American counterpart, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said China and the United States should handle occasional individual cases in a calm and professional manner. Wang stressed that China has always strictly abided by international laws and will not accept any groundless conjecture or hype. In the face of unexpected situations, what both sides should do is to maintain steadiness, communicate in time, avoid misjudgment, and manage differences. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said it spotted a second similar balloon flying over Latin America. Beijing already denied the U.S. accusation of spying. It accused U.S. media and politicians of using the recent balloon incident as a pretext to launch a smear campaign against Beijing.
The U.S. is already at loggerheads with China over a string of issues. That includes the rift between the two countries over Taiwan, the economic and trade war between Washington and Beijing, and China's anger over America's presence in the South China Sea. But will the flying of a Chinese balloon in the airspace of the U.S. further deteriorate the situation?
The U.S. allegation of a suspected spy balloon flying in the sky of Montana has added to concerns that the already heightened tensions between Washington and Beijing would further escalate. Although balloons are a powerful potential surveillance tool, it is odd that Beijing would do something this provocative just before a key U.S. diplomatic trip, especially since China has been pushing to repair relations with the United States post-pandemic. Some in the U.S. say it is very likely that China has been using this technique for a while and that the United States was aware of it, but diplomatically chose not to respond. A U.S. Defense Department spokesman confirmed that such intrusions have happened before, saying it is not the first time that you had a balloon of this nature cross over the continental United States. It has happened a handful of other times over the past few years, to include before this administration. Some believe that the United States is spending a large budget on creating unnecessary hostility with China. Some others reason out that the tensions have flared up in recent years between the two, with Biden declaring that China is America's most consequential geopolitical challenge and competition between the two global superpowers is intense. After all, Washington and Beijing are already at loggerheads over a host of issues. That includes tensions over Taiwan. President Biden has antagonized top Chinese officials by saying on several occasions that the United States would defend Taiwan if China attacked a self-ruled island. One close ally of the administration said that although White House officials have walked back those statements, Biden is intentionally sending a message to China when he makes such pronouncements. But tensions between Washington and Beijing are not limited to that. The two powers have deep differences on other issues as well. The economic war between the United States and China, with the two countries having imposed tariffs on each other's goods, can be named as such. The U.S. presence in the South China Sea also adds to concerns that Washington and Beijing would be facing each other militarily. In the current situation, one small excuse would be enough for the whole world to wage another world war.
Earlier, we were joined by political analyst Kim Do-ju from Beijing. He tells us that the U.S. shooting down of the Chinese balloon could set a dangerous precedent and prompt retaliatory measures.
Well, obviously, this is an incident. The airship is out of control. It's unmanned, and it's because of the strong westerly, or the strong wind, basically blowing to the from east to the west. And it went astray and deviated from due course severely and straight into the U.S. airspace. The Chinese side has expressed regret and explaining that this is for research purpose, meteorological research in particular. And usually, such incident, which is not unusual in the history of between countries, let's say, in international relations, but usually it was dealt with by two governments and or by professionals from both sides, because it is not a, it's not a serious issue, but it's a sovereignty issue. I think we should have there's overreaction, and also in a sense, it's a bit aggressive, I would say, by shooting down the balloon, even after the explanation from the Chinese side. Because remember, this could be a precedent, because there's a lot of U.S. military assets flying close or in direct violation of the Chinese sovereign airspace in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, over Taiwan, for example. If China chooses to retaliate, they can do something like this. So let's hope that they will talk to each other and find a way out of this difficult situation.
The former Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf has died at the age of 79 after a prolonged illness. Musharraf died in the hospital in Dubai after spending years in self-imposed exile. The chiefs of Pakistan's army have expressed condolences on his death. Musharraf ruled for nearly a decade after seizing power in a coup in 1999. In 2008, the country's first democratic elections in 11 years were held, and Musharraf's party lost. Facing impeachment by parliament, he resigned and fled to London. Later in 2013, he returned to Pakistan to run for a seat in parliament, but was immediately disqualified. 6 years later, a court sentenced him to death in absentia for the 2007 imposition of emergency rule. The verdict was later overturned. Musharraf survived at least three assassination attempts. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
From India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 5th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as yesterday, Saturday, February 4th, corresponding with the 13th of the Islamic month of Rajab, happened to be the birth anniversary of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We do send our congratulations to you on this auspicious occasion. And this is the reason the Islamic Republic of Iran every year celebrates the birth anniversary of Imam Ali, peace upon him, as Father's Day, in order to make its citizens better fathers for the proper grooming of children as per the guidelines of the Prophet and the infallible Imams. Congratulations to everyone. Welcome back, everyone. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Bithan Chandra Sanyal from India, from Juan Coba from Spain, and from Nico Genovese from Italy. So Bithan, Juan, and Nico, thank you very much, and we are so happy to having received these reception reports from you. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, including from Russia, from Vasily Kuznetsov, one of our old and regular listeners. Avinash from India, one of our old listeners, has sent us an email from Italy. Nico Genovese has sent us an email. David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain has also sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Finland, from Olof Ratovara, one of our old and regular listeners. Please stay with us. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. As I said, from Russia, we've received an email from Vasily Kuznetsov, one of our old and regular listeners. Vasily says, "Dear friends, I was glad to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave, and I had a very good reception in English. Also, I should say that your website is very informative. Like many amateurs of radio, I submit my report with the hope to get a QSL card. Thank you in advance. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia. And thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia. And from Italy, we've received an email from Nico Genovese. Nico says, "In the name of God, dear IRIB friends, my name is Nico Genovese, and I am an Italian radio listener. I am sending you a reception report carried out a few minutes ago on the frequency of 6040 kilohertz. I listened to one of your broadcasts in English. One news. in particular. I listened from Terracina, a town about 100 kilometers far from Rome, Italy. I enclose a short recording of the listening. I hope to receive your QSL or EQSL confirmation. Thanks and a cordial greeting from Italy. Salam, Nico, and cordial greetings from Tehran as well. Appreciations to you for this email. We're so happy to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in Terracina, as you said, a town about 100 kilometers far from Rome, Italy. We are so honored to have you with us. Nico Genovese from Italy, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation and let us this mutual relationship between you and IRIB English Radio continue by sending us more emails and keeping in touch with us. Nico Genovese from Italy, thank you very much for this email. So after a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and from India, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Avinash. Avinash says, I am pleased to report the reception of your English language transmissions of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or even an EQSL. I'm interested in collecting postage stamps from across the world. It would be great if you can send a few used postage stamps from Iran. Salam and warm greetings to you, Avinash, and thank you very much for this email. Also, I thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Avinash from India, because sending any material on behalf of our radio in the time of pandemic is not possible, please accept our electronic QSL as a souvenir and as confirmation, of course. Anyway, we wish you all the best. We wish you luck, Avinash from India. And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Spain, we've received an email from David Rodriguez Ferro. David says, Dear staff at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, hereby I send you a reception report of your recent transmission. I could receive your signals here in Cadiz, Spain. I hope you find my report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you could confirm it with one of your QSL cards or an EQSL. Best regards and peace. David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain. Salam and greetings from Tehran, the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And gratitude to you for sending this email to us. And it's also good to hear that you were able to receive our signals in Cadiz in Spain. And let us thank you for your reception report, which, as you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So, we wish you all the best, David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain, and we will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and after a short break, I will be back with you. And as for the last email in this edition of Listeners Special, we go to the Northern Hemisphere. We go to Finland, where we've received an email from Olaf Ratovara, one of our old and regular listeners. Olaf says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Finland. Thank you for verifying my listening report. In my opinion, the program I heard was good and useful. You're doing a great job. Best regards, your listener from Finland." Salam and greetings from Tehran, and thank you very much for your support for IRIB English Radio. I wish you told us the title of the program you listen to. Anyway, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation. Olaf Ratovara from Finland. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Olaf from Finland. Thank you again. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And as I always say, art is long, but life is short. And we here, we come to the end of our program. But before saying goodbye to our great listeners around the world, I do appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Bithan Chandra Sanyal from India, Juan Kaba from Spain, Nico Genovese from Italy, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, of course, Avinash from India, and David Rodriguez Ferro from Spain, and Olaf Ratovara from Finland. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the human traits in the Quran, and specifically we're looking at the ones that are destructive to people, to ourselves first, and to other people. We said amongst these traits that are destructive to people and to ourselves is in fact takabbur, pride. And pride is a crime in itself. And we said that pride is in levels. One level is when a person thinks he's above God. And we gave examples of that. One level is when a person defies Allah's laws because he thinks he's above it. And one level, or the third level, when a person defies the sayings and the orders of the prophets and the imams, alayhi wasalam, and we spoke about that. The fourth one, the one that we mostly indulge in, is at-takabbur ala ibadillah, which is our today's topic. Is when I have pride over the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes I find myself in a position where I expect people to greet me first. I expect people to make me enter the gatherings first. I expect people to keep me in the center of the gathering first. Sometimes I expect people to bow before me or in a way or another. I expect people to respect me when I talk and they should shut up and just listen to me. Sometimes I would expect people to be nice and gentle when they speak to me. I expect people to dress me with Mr. and Sayyid and this and that and never dress me by my name and disrespect me. I have a lot of expectations, don't I? Sometimes these expectations, when we have them and we push them forward, in fact, this is called takabbur, called pride. Why would you assume or feel that everyone must say hello to you? Everyone must say to you, you come in, you know. Why do you have these assumptions? Who are you? And I'm speaking for myself first and foremost. Who are we? We are nothing but humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that I have that you don't, that I makes me better than you. Inna akramakum indallah atqakum. The best of you in the sight of Allah is the one who is pious. So these people who have this notion of takabbur of other people, they are very dangerous. Because once they have position and power, then they certainly will destroy and harm people in their way. Don't take my word for it. Take the words of the Quran for it. Allah says, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّ سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا. And when he comes into power and position, he will wreak havoc and corruption on earth. وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ. And he will wipe out humans and plants together. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ. And surely Allah does not love fasad. And when people says to him, hey, fear God. وَإِذَا قِلَهُ اتَّقُ اللَّهُ. You know what he says? When people says to him, please, you know, have fear of Allah. أَخَذَتْهُ الْعَزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. His pride takes control of him in evilness and says, no, I will not. So you see that when a person becomes, when he has pride, too much pride, and you put him in authority, what he does, he will annihilate things around him. Destructive. فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah says, surely, hell to him and hell will be his best of resting place for him. Let us take a short break and then we come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So we were saying that when we talk about pride, it's very destructive on the fourth level when we have pride towards our fellow human beings. So the first thing we will do is once we take control is we will wreak havoc on earth. Then we ask the question, what motivates people to have so much pride that is destructive? And what makes people want to harm other people? One is act and worship itself, which is really tricky. Sometimes I do work on the outside. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I want people, and more even better than that, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, I expect Allah to say, well, this servant of mine, he should be before you guys. Why? Because he's a servant of mine. He worships me. He does actions for me. Therefore, he needs to be, you know, honored. And no one else needs to be honored. Why? Because he is so good. And this is the fallacy that happens here, is that we put ourselves in an action of ibadah, in a place where we act, and then we want people to respect us for it. And we use that as a pride. And this is like, this comes in a very sneaky way, where sometimes I worship Allah, and then shaitan comes into my head and plays around, and then slowly, slowly, he gets into my head, and all of a sudden I see myself committing all these haram acts without realizing, without knowing. And then I have this pride thing happening. This is one of the causes that causes people into falling into the concept of pride. Another reason that causes people to fall into the pride problem and disease is that their lineage. And this happens basically back in the day, used to happen more than now, because now no one cares about your family lineage or what your family is and what your surname is. But to a certain extent, we still have royal families to some extent. He's a royal. When he's a royal, he's from the royal family, or he's from a very prominent family. He needs to be respected and honored, and you know. And these people walk on eggshells. They think of themselves better than everyone else. So sometimes when a person has a lineage or has a family that is, you know, respected in society, those people use it as a way of making themselves sound better and look better and want people to treat them better. Even though it's nonsense, it's just a figment of their imagination, because Allah says, إِنَّ كَرَمَكُمْ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. He doesn't care what family you're from or how much money you have. Don't be prideful. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. It's bad for the community, bad for everybody. So don't do it. So these are some of the causes. There are more causes that causes people to become prideful. Inshallah, we'll keep it to other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
in the limelight.
Experts say COVID school closures cost children one-third of a year's learning. So they say a sustained catch-up effort is needed to help students to recover lost skills and knowledge. Please stay with us for an exclusive article published in the scientific journal Nature. Stay tuned for more. Children lost out on more than one-third of a school year's worth of learning during the COVID-19 pandemic, an analysis has found. Their math skills were more affected than their reading abilities. The study published in Nature Human Behavior on January 30 shows that efforts to prevent further learning losses after the pandemic has been successful, but school-age children have not caught up on the loss of knowledge and skills that they experienced at the start of the pandemic, during which school closures were widespread. This is going to be a real problem for this generation that experienced the pandemic in school, says Bastian Boscher, a sociologist at the University of Oxford and co-author of this study. If not addressed, these learning losses will affect this generation's success in the labor market, he adds. COVID-19 pandemic caused the largest disruption to education in history. 95% of the world student population was affected by school closures. According to the UN Cultural Organization UNESCO, schools suspended in-person teaching for an average of 3.5 months during the pandemic. The authors screened 5,997 peer-reviewed papers and pre-print studies on the pandemic's impacts on education. They looked at learning deficits, delays in learning progress, measured using test scores, as well as the loss of skills and knowledge that children already had before the pandemic. Their analysis included 291 learning deficit estimates, reported in 42 studies from 15 high and middle income countries, the United States, the UK, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Denmark, Italy, Spain, Mexico, Sweden, Switzerland, South Africa, the Netherlands, Germany, and Colombia. The researchers calculated that, on average, school-aged children across all grades lost 35% of a school year's worth of learning during the pandemic, and that these learning gaps had not been recovered as of May 2022. The loss of skills was worse in math than in reading, possibly because parents were less able to help their children with math exercises, the researchers speculate. There are, however, some skills that children might have developed during the pandemic as a result of remote or hybrid teaching, says Luca Lusick, a psychologist at the Pratt Institute in New York City. Kids were getting super familiarized with the cyberspace and technological context and will, in the future, be much more native to the digital world. The learning slowdown during the pandemic was not just an outcome of school closures, but a combination of factors involving home learning environments. These include access to learning equipment, computers, digital sources, having a quiet room to work in, and economic insecurity amongst families, says Boscher. The pandemic reinforced learning inequality at the global level, he said. There was a lack of data from lower-income countries, but the study found that children with more disadvantaged socioeconomic backgrounds in high- and middle-income countries have experienced larger learning losses. The authors predict that the pandemic's effects on learning will be more severe for children in poorer regions. Those students were suffering before the pandemic. They suffered more during the pandemic, and now, as we are trying to get our way out of this, they are going to receive less than others to recover, says Amanda Nitz, a researcher at Johns Hopkins University School of Education in Baltimore, Maryland. Researchers say policy initiatives to help children to recover lost learning and skills are urgently needed. This isn't going to be something that we watch up in a year or two. When everything is back to normal, I think this is going to be a decade long, Nisha said, adding, we need to rethink schooling and make substantial changes to the structure and way that we do education to make this up.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated and transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the biggest losers in this life and in the hereafter. This is a topic that has been alluded to in the Holy Quran. For example, in the Holy Quran, we read the following. Say, shall we inform you about the biggest losers in regard to works? Those whose endeavor goes awry in the life of this world, why they suppose they are doing good. In this connection, Imam Ali has been reported to have said, verily, the biggest loser with the worst end of the deal and the most unsuccessful in his striving is the man who exerts himself in the quest for his wealth, even though fate does not help him in his aims, and he consequently leaves this world with regret while heading towards the hereafter, where he will face its ill consequences. So basically, in this hadith, Imam Ali describes the person with the biggest loss as the person who exerts himself, who makes a great effort in the quest of material wealth and money and, you know, material goods, but fate does not help him, and you know, obviously, when you know, and he's unsuccessful in his pursuit of wealth in this world. When he dies, he spent his whole life in the pursuit of wealth, and he was unsuccessful. This didn't leave him with any chance in this world to pursue, you know, a provision for the hereafter. So he leaves this world in a state where neither was he successful in this world, nor does he have any means to acquire felicity and success in the hereafter. خسر الدنيا والآخرة. Like, he's a person who has lost both in this world and in the hereafter, and this is obviously the biggest loser of them all. In connection with this, Imam Ali said something similar in another place. Imam Ali was once asked about who has the greatest misfortune. To which he replied, a man who abandons the world for the sake of the world, and therefore he misses out on the world and loses the hereafter, and a man who worships, struggles, and fasts as a display for others and thus forbids himself the pleasures of this world, and also tires himself, and were he to do all that sincerely, for the sake of Allah, he would be deserving of its reward. Right, so in this second hadith, Imam Ali kind of adds to the first category, another category, a person who apparently performs acts for the hereafter, whereas his intention is to acquire the pleasure of the people in this world. He wants to become popular, or, you know, and he doesn't care really about the hereafter. So when he leaves this world, he didn't acquire anything from this world, nor will he have anything in the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the biggest losers in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
This one lay. Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.